Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Friday, April the 4th, and today we're going to be talking about Mozilla Firefox's CEO stepping down after being outed as an opponent of gay marriage. Ian Hewitt, my associate editor, is here. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Austin.
Nice to see you again.
Likewise.
Looking forward to the weekend here. Today we're going to be talking about this issue, Ian, that I think is very complicated. There's a lot of nuance in this.
It's
very much a libertarian issue. And let me read to you a little bit from Nick Gillespie's op-ed in Time Magazine, and then we're going to discuss.
Great piece.
Just days after being named the new head of web browser maker Mozilla, Brendan Eich has stepped down after being outed as an opponent of gay marriage. On Tuesday, dating site OkCupid urged its members who use Mozilla Firefox to consider using different software for accessing OkCupid. It turns out that Eich had given money to California's Proposition 8, a 2008 ballot initiative that banned same-sex marriage in the Golden State. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Prop 8 invalid, and same-sex unions are once again legal in California. Welcome to the brave new world of socially conscious web browsing. In the past, consumers might patronize certain businesses such as Whole Foods, say, or Ben & Jerry's, whose stated missions extended beyond increasing shareholder value and avoided others that might have politically objectionable CEOs or reputations for being anti-abortion. Domino's Pizza is an example. Or public positions opposed to certain forms of birth control. Hobby Lobby is an example. Now we're boycotting free products such as Firefox and demanding companies dance to the tune called by customers. Nick Gillespie says that this is a good thing overall, but it may just end up being just as difficult for consumers to live with it as it will be for corporations. Whether you care about gay marriage or politically correct web experiences, Eich's resignation shows how businesses respond to market signals. Mozilla believes in both equality and freedom of speech. Equality is necessary for meaningful speech, writes Mitchell Baker, the organization's executive chairwoman, in announcing Eich's stepping down. And you need free speech to fight for equality. Figuring out how to stand for both at the same time can be hard. Very hard. But one issue that has recently broken the news, the breaking news with this, Ian, and we'll talk about this before we really get into the morality and nuance of this argument, is that the IRS actually is who is responsible for leaking the information about who donated to the Prop 8 campaign. So listen to this. So he made a $1,000 campaign donation to the campaign urging a yes vote on Prop 8. And basically, it turns out the IRS leaked a copy of the National Organization for Marriage's 2008 tax return to a gay advocacy group. So Eich, who was then CTO of Mozilla, published a post on his personal blog stating that his donation was not motivated by any sort of animosity towards gays or lesbians, and challenging any of those who did not believe this to cite any incident where I displayed hatred or ever treated someone less than respectful because of group identity. Now,
Austin, not only did the IRS show favoritism by leaking this donor list to a gay advocacy group, they actually did so after the president of that group, it was the Human Rights Campaign, became a co-chair of the Obama re-election campaign.
So what does that mean?
I think that's further evidence that the IRS showed favoritism by doing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been targeting IRS. The IRS has been targeting Tea Party groups.
Right.
We know that that is a politicized organization. It's one of the main reasons that I think that that organization ought to be shut down.
It's just one more reason to realize that this is not a coincidence.
Oh, goddamn the IRS. They need to be shut down. They should have been shut down years ago. It never should have been started. We need to plow that thing to the ground and sow salt in it. You know, do an Indian dance over it so it never rises again.
I have always been in favor of complete equality under the law mm-hmm. for same-sex and for heterosexual couples. Mm-hmm. And I also am glad that government was not used as a bludgeon here and that this was a private transaction. Mozilla has the right to fire and to hire whom they please. But I would also caution libertarians on a couple points. I would say, first, we're having this conversation in the first place because the IRS is corrupt and biased and showed favoritism. We're having this conversation
because of the bias of a government agency.
Mm-hmm. And I would also emphasize, I think this is a demonstration of the same sort of witch hunting culture that tried to kick Chick-fil-A out of Boston mm-hmm. because of the personal views of its CEO mm-hmm. and that forced Elaine Higuainen, a New Mexico wedding photographer, to shell out thousands of dollars because she politely declined to attend a ceremony that she disagreed with.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Nick Gillespie's piece. He's right to point out conservatives should like the means here. It was private, and liberals should like the ends.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the private means here are incidental. I think a lot of the people who were driving this would be happy to support things like hate speech laws and don't much care whether the transaction they use to silence people is private or governmental.
Yes. Now, that's the meat of this debate, and I want to get into that in just a moment because I want to discuss Ike's motives first for why he may have given this donation because there's some confusion there. And then I want to discuss the tactics because it appears from Ike's donation records that he actually is a major supporter of Congressman Ron Paul. He gave a lot of donations to conservative groups, but his number one donation was to Ron Paul, who, when I heard this, that he might be a libertarian, it kind of shocked me to hear that he would give $1,000 to Proposition 8, which to me was not a very libertarian law.
No, it was certainly not a libertarian law.
Right.
I think what we see is that, and we're only guessing here because Ike doesn't talk publicly about his political views. He says he wants to keep them separate.
Well, I've got his public statement on this, which I'll read in just a moment.
Well, he says that his donation wasn't motivated by hatred, and then he says that he's not going to continue.
Well, what's weird, Ian,
about his donations just for a minute. I think what we can deduce from his donations is that he just became sort of a go-to donor for different conservative candidates and organizations. And that may be
the people knew that he donated money, and so they came and say, "Hey, come give us some money."
He's a rich guy; he donates money.
He probably had a buddy that on that campaign that was like, "Come on, man, give me $1,000."
Right? He's donated to a number of things, and as you pointed out, if you look at the candidates he's donated to,
mm-hmm.
the candidate he's donated the most to was Ron Paul. He mm-hmm. donated $1,000 to Prop 8 and thousands of dollars to Ron Paul. So that does suggest that, even though it was a poor decision of him to donate to Proposition 8, a discriminatory law, his net impact was a positive one.
People like you and yourself and myself, we look at a donation to Ron Paul and we think, oh, well, this is most likely a classical liberal such as ourselves. But liberals in the American sense of the world, who's, you know, Democrats, left-wing people, they probably wouldn't look at a donation to Ron Paul as an example of someone's liberalism in the classical sense. They would think, probably a racist or some, you know, right-wing nut conservative.
They don't care much about classical liberalism.
Well, they don't know what it is. Yes, that's true. But the thing is that while you and I would look at that and it confused us because we know what Ron Paul stands for in a general sense, other people, the left wing, have been very much indoctrinated and brainwashed to believe that, you know, standing for Ron Paul stands for racism and bigotry and all this stuff. So we'll talk about that later. But I want to read Brandon Ike's statement, and then I want to talk about, again, his motives, because it turns out that Mozilla, while he was the CEO, is one of the most gay-friendly corporations that exists. Or it's actually a nonprofit. Listen. A donation that I made in support of California Prop 8 4 years ago became public knowledge and sparked a firestorm of comments in the last few days, mostly on Twitter. People in other countries or other U.S. states don't know why Mozilla was listed on the donation data. Donors above a certain amount are required by the state of California to disclose their employer. Mozilla had nothing to do with the donation. I'm not going to discuss Prop 8 here on Twitter. There's no point in talking with people who are baiting, ranting, and hurling four-letter abuse. personal hatred conveyed through curse words is neither rational nor charitable. And he says, in contrast, people expressing non-abusive anger, sadness, or disagreement, I understand, grieve, and humbly accept. Now, here's what's really interesting about Ike. Now, while he was the CEO, he made sure one of the first things that he did was to ensure that Mozilla continued offering health benefits to the same-sex partners of its employees. And second, that he would allocate additional resources to a project that aims to bring more LGBTQ individuals into the tech world, and Mozilla in particular. And third, Ian, he would maintain and strengthen Mozilla's policies against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. He did this prior to the storm of outrage that erupted. And Mozilla is one of the most gay-friendly work environments in the United States. He probably screwed up big time. One of his buddies probably asked him for $1,000, and he doesn't actually hate gay people, and he probably supports them, and he screwed up. And this is all some big misunderstanding.
Now, you mentioned that the left is likely to see a donation to Ron Paul as racist and bigoted and so forth. Yeah. The establishment left has also painted that same picture of Rand Paul, despite there not being those, you know, unfortunate, you know, like a news, there's no newsletter controversy for Rand Paul, and the left has still painted an equivalent picture of him. So I think the reason they have that image is because they think, you know, these people would support the right of conservatives to make choices different from mine, and we can't tolerate that. The left's embrace of a linear view of history is essentially monolithic and a rejection of all choices different from their own. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah. Now here's the crux of this. Here's the real, like, libertarian issue that this comes down to that we need to discuss. Whether or not the tactics that were used in getting Brandon and Brendan Eich to step down were legitimate tactics. And we read an article this morning on Pajama Media, and this guy is just railing against the left, you know, calling them fascists and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? All they did, Ian, was have, there was one website, OkCupid, it's a dating site, that OkCupid asked their users not to use Mozilla to access their website. They didn't block people from using Mozilla on OkCupid. That may have been a little bit more, you know, quote unquote fascist perhaps, but even still, you don't have to use OkCupid. But what they did do was they said, please don't use this product. That's simply a boycott. And so once that happened, the controversy that was started from simply asking people not to use that product was enough to pressure Ike to step down. Now, people are saying this is wrong. I don't want to live in a world where people are fear of losing their jobs for their political opinions. Well, tough crap. You get involved in politics and you start to play your game, and you're gonna have opponents. You're gonna have enemies. How many hate pages, I Hate Austin Peterson pages, are there? You know, there's at least three and counting. And, you know, maybe some of our haters are listening in, you know. But the reality is that is the consequence of political free speech. And when you engage in it, you have to expect it. I'm not saying that you deserve a bullet in the back of the head at Ford Theater. But what I am saying is that you step into that world, into the ring, it's a dirty game. You're going to get hit. And here's the thing. It was all voluntary. Nobody was forcing him out. It was all a matter of free speech that was being used for people to express their opinions. He expressed his free speech by donating. They expressed theirs.
Well, let me make a couple points. I think you're right to indicate that conservatives would and could, you know, employ similar tactics. But Mozilla, in its statement, says we're tolerant of a diversity of views here at Mozilla. If I fired all the progressives from a business that I owned, because progressive views are doubtlessly oppressive and discriminatory if you're a libertarian, as surely as Proposition 8 is, I could not then claim I tolerate a diversity of views at my business. That would be absurd. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, the honest thing to do would be to say, no, I prefer to hire people who agree with me. The reason Mozilla is able to make this statement is that there's an essential difference between the left and the right, whereby people who embrace a linear view of history on the left don't see a shred of legitimacy to any slight variation from their monolithic path into the future. And I think that's what the difference is between people on the left who might do something like this and people on the right who might do something like this. You're right to point out that this was a private transaction. There was no government involved. But I wonder who were the people that had him fired, and would they use the government to impose their views on other people? Well, and I want to look at this survey here. The State of the First Amendment survey is conducted every year by the First Amendment Center. And we don't have a 2014 State of the First Amendment survey yet, but we don't have a 2014 survey yet, but the 2013 survey was very interesting. It found that more Americans think the First Amendment goes too far than at any point since the months following 9/11. Who are these Americans that oppose the First Amendment? They are predominantly young and non-religious. The survey found that 70% of liberals, 59% of non-religious people, and most Catholics think that the government should force wedding businesses to serve same-sex couples. So think of the Elaine Higuainen case in New Mexico. It also found that over 30% of Americans now think that extreme religious groups should not have, quote-unquote, the freedom to worship. And this number has been rising since 2011, and it's the highest it's ever been since the First Amendment Center started doing this survey.
This is the anti-liberal liberals.
I would warn libertarians that, yes, while this transaction was private, if you look at other policies that people like this have supported, if you look at what the data says they generally support, these people would happily use things like hate speech laws, quote unquote, to strong arm people into supporting their personal preferences.
That's true. But they did not use those laws in this case.
You're right.
And so we have to look at this case on the merits, because what we cannot take away a tactic that we will want to employ ourselves. And when it comes down to it, if there was a CEO of a company that was pushing illiberal policies that discriminated against Christians for whatever reason, or even for myself, for atheists, then I would want that tactic to be able to be employed so that I could defend myself and the people who are of my like philosophical ilk. And
then you would not say I tolerate all sorts of views here at my business. You would say I like to employ people.
I don't have to tolerate views at my business.
No, you don't.
I do not.
Yeah.
I absolutely do not. And
I do think we should clarify that Mozilla was within its rights to hire and fire whom it chooses.
Absolutely, it was. And here's the thing. Again, this isn't like I don't like Ike. It's not as if I can't agree with Ike's positions, perhaps, on certain things. I certainly don't agree with donating to Prop 8.
Not at all.
But it seems as if his other positions are mostly things that I would agree with. What I have to defend here is free speech. And this was a total free speech move. It was all voluntary. It was all a consumer choice thing. And I think that makes it a totally legitimate action. The question here is what you brought up. How much do private corporations have to suffer for their employees' views? You know, when I worked at FreedomWorks, there were times when people who heard my opinions on things such as vaccines or GMOs and things like that, people who didn't agree with me on there, they contacted my employer. They contacted, Matt Kibbe and all that stuff to complain about the free speech that I was exercising. Now, it was a political institution, so it was more understood that you're going to have a political view, and people at FreedomWorks tend to be more libertarian, so it was understood. It wasn't as if, like, I was working at some progressive institute and then, I was getting, railed at. But the reality is that I had to deal with the consequences of my free speech, because when people complained, Jackie would come in and say, "Hey, Austin, can you tone it down a little bit?" That's because my behavior at an institution will necessarily affect the people around me. We don't live in bubbles. And if my behavior was harming my employer, they were well within their bounds to do what they have to do to
stop it. There is an important distinction, though, in that the IRS was not involved.
That's true. The IRS was
not
involved.
The IRS did not show favoritism towards a group that it agreed with and leak its documents to them because their president had, gotten on the president's reelection campaign.
No, I know. But, I think, everybody who's listening to this podcast we're probably all in agreement that the IRS can burn in hell. So
I hope so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. What do you think about this topic? Send us an email at thelibertarianrepublic.com. We hope you guys are enjoying these podcasts. If you really are enjoying them, send us an email. Tell us what you like about it, what you don't like. Are they too long? Are they too short? Are there any topics that you'd like us to cover? Maybe if you've got a good, strong topic, we'd be happy to talk about it on our show. So send us an email at thelibertarianrepublic.com, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. If you sign up for our email this month, you'll be entered to win a chance to win a replica of George Washington's flintlock pistol, which is a really cool replica of our first president's firearm, and it's sitting on my shelf right now, but it can be sitting on yours. So give us your email, you'll be entered to win, and don't forget to come back to your home for personal liberty, economic freedom, and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.